Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
You start a church, and there was a vision for ministry and for church that we had that we didn't see anywhere. And so it was real fresh for me, and it was one of those things that I got up every day and pursued it and ran hard toward it. And it was all real simple. Okay, the simple things of what Guts Church was. This is 25 years ago. It was in a warehouse just west of Memorial on 41st Street. It had been vacant for 5 years, and we went in and mopped and swept and painted and mopped and swept and painted and prayed and then began to teach and build leaders. If you could fog a mirror, you could be a leader in our church. And really, honestly, just kept it real simple. Because most of the people that came in weren't very churched. And so we had to teach how to pray and how to serve and how to give and teach the principles of the tithe. And we had to be thorough, and it had to be relatable. And it had to be authentic, and it had to be genuine for people. Otherwise, it just felt like church. And really, honestly, I don't say that as a backhand to the church, but honestly, people that liked church were in church. People that didn't like church weren't in church. And it was about 50-50. And it still is today. So it's always been our heart to reach people that didn't necessarily like church, that didn't feel like they fit into church. And so it was real easy. So the initial adage of the church was just come as you are. See, no one dressed like this to get up and preach back in those days. It was a necktie and a suit, and a lot of times a three-piece suit, and a lot of times King James English Bibles, and really wasn't relatable to people. But you have to understand during that time as well that, man, there was revival in churches and in people. The charismatic movement happened, and people would have church services for 3 or 4 hours, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I feel you guys when we get to 65 and 70 minutes. It's like, come on, you got an exit ramp there somewhere, don't you? But you got to remember that those church services, 2 hours, they didn't feel like they had church. They would sing for an hour and a half. I got to stand next to somebody that's a better singer if we're going to sing this long, okay? But, and it wasn't Sandy. That wasn't talking. We weren't married at that time, Sandy. You're like a songbird. I wasn't married at that time. It was probably some guys I was. You guys are not going to receive from God when you start taking things out of context like this so much. And if I quit stepping in it, that would be helpful also, okay? So the first law of holes, stop digging. So, but listen, people didn't feel like they fit into church. Young people, a lot of you guys suffered through church services because they'd take you, throw you in a classroom, and they'd go have church for 2 or 3 hours. And you've got Moses and Abraham felt things on a burlap board, and people tried to make it fresh. But so we got better doing church, but as a whole, generally, the body of Christ. But listen, we went with people in mind. People driving, why are people driving by? Why would people drive by this church today, right now? Why wouldn't they be in here? See, that's always the driving force. And the adage of the church was, come as you are. And people thought of that in clothing. I had long hair at the time, and people thought about that, but it wasn't that. It was even the baggage in your heart. You could bring the, we want to provide a church experience where you could trust God with your baggage. And I want to ask you today, can you trust God with your baggage? See, because this kingdom that we live in now, see, the kingdom of the world's built on respect. You have to earn everything. You have to deserve everything. You become entitled about things. The kingdom is the opposite of that. You never deserve it. You can never earn it. It's never gonna fit anything else in life. It's not gonna, so everything else has to comply to it, has to submit to the kingdom in your life. And see, and in this, through this, you go through rough stages in life. I know people in here right now, I know the specifics that you're going through rough times. You're having issues in your life, you're having things. If I'd have you stand today, it might be everybody, but it'd be most of the people in the room that you've got things that you're dealing with. There's decisions that you made that you thought, man, with the information that I had, it was a good decision then, but there was a shelf life to that decision, and now it's not so good, and now it's causing stress, and it's causing tension, and it's creating an issue. And you know, those issues, a lot of times, they make life seem depressing. And see, and I want to bring this into context spiritually, okay? But spiritually, see, we could identify in the flesh, and we can identify the physical things that cause a depression in our lives, okay? But spiritually is where it matters. See, the Bible says the things that are seen are made by things that aren't seen. And the true origin of everything, you never are going to see it with your natural eyes or feel it with your senses. See, so what do we have to do? We've got to look at this from a spiritual place. And we got to take that on, and we got to understand that depression is simply this. It's demonic and it's worldly, but it depresses our lives. It brings a suppression to our lives. That's what depression is. And you begin to feel that, and then when you live in that long enough, it becomes a depression. And now it's like it becomes a mindset. But see, what does God want to do? God always wants to bless us. That's all God's about, is blessing. See, so what a blessing does, a blessing lifts you. So now you could breathe, and now you could speak to things, and now you can see things from a better perspective. See, because everything in a series I'm putting together for the fall is our perception versus our perspective. See, and they're completely different. And when we learn to value each of those where they should be and direct our lives toward them, it's going to change people's lives. But see, we look at our lives and we look at who we are right now and we think about the depressing things in our life. Is a suppression in our life? So I'm going to give you three quick things. You can take a picture of the screen. You can write them in your notes. But please get this information. Number one, you have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. See, there's nothing about the Holy Spirit that's magical. There's nothing about the Holy Spirit that's ethereal. There's nothing. I'm telling you, it's the baseline of who we are in Christ now. So much so that Jesus said, look, I've got to go. And they're like, no, you can't go. You don't get it. You proved yourself. You rose from the dead. The buy-in now is going to be incredible. And Jesus said, it's to my advantage that I go. So God could send the Holy Spirit, another comforter. He's going to send his Spirit, and now it's not just going to be around you. Now it's just not going to be on you, but it's going to get in you. They didn't get it. They heard him say a couple times, as I am on the earth, so are you. But they didn't get it. I mean, Peter did for just an instant when Jesus appeared to him in the water, and he said, if it's really you, Lord, beckon me to come. And he said, well, come on. Peter stepped out of that boat, and he stepped out of the water, and he stood there for a second, but guess what then? Then his senses kicked in, and he saw the waves, and he felt the wind, and he freaked out and began to sink, and Jesus caught him. See, so you look at it, so now we understand that he was being obedient, but then he allowed the depression of the world, the wind and the waves. He took that into account. What happened? He sunk. Man, we've got to have a reliance upon. We have to have an understanding. And here's how you get an understanding of the Holy Spirit. You read the Word. But also, guess what? You open your heart to God. Say, God, please show me the power of your Holy Spirit. God, show me. God, make it real to me. I'll tell you what I prayed for a long time. God, I want all of you that I can get. What I prayed for a long time, since I was a brand new Christian, I said, God, show yourself real and alive to me. God, show yourself alive to me. And you know what God will? God loves to do that in our lives. See, so the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two is we have to have a different attitude toward life. See, there's a way for you to hedge. There's a way for you to detour. There's a way for you to stop depression from even coming into your life. But it requires a new attitude. It requires a different attitude. And you know what? There's so much of life that you'll think, no, that's weird. Like people that tithe and people that don't tithe. Some of you guys might have family and friends, and when they realize how much money you give, man, our offering last Sunday was one probably in the top 10 of all the offerings we've had in 25 years of the church. There was a contribution. I don't know who it came from, but there was a contribution that caused me to stop and pray for somebody. I was like, oh my goodness. It was overwhelming to me because I'm a simple man. And I thought, God, you got to bless them. God, I thank you, the contributor. God, I thank you that you show yourself real life in their finances. They could buy something really nice with all that money, but they didn't. You know what they did? They sowed it in the kingdom. They gave it to the church. So now guess what they're giving to? They're giving to change lives. Guess what's happening? Now instead of them spending that money, they've just reallocated and invested that money in their heavenly account. See, but there's people that'll say, oh my gosh, you're crazy for giving that much. It doesn't make any sense. No, it makes perfect sense. Listen, when you know that you know that you know, when you realize that my life isn't mine anymore. See, when I answered that altar call in the summer of 1979, I didn't come up and say, okay, I'm going to change some things, God. No, I came up and said, God, I give you my life. God, I give you my heart. Everything in my life's a heart issue now. Why? But because I've given my life to God now. So now there's a passion, now there's an intensity, now there's a drive for everything in my life. It's hard to even harness it sometimes. Man, and why would you say that? Because I've given my life to God, and the zeal of his house has consumed me. Man, I see the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit operative in the local church. So I've got to take on a whole new attitude toward life. And the third thing is, man, we have to have a winning directive in our life. We have to have a winning direction and a winning expectation in our life, an expectation to win. We're not just conquerors. You understand that? We're not just winners. We're more than winners. We're more than conquerors. What's a conqueror? Someone who wins. What's somebody that's more than a conqueror? Somebody that knows they're going to win. Man, they know they're going to win. I remember that years ago I played rugby. And in that sport, let me tell you, if you're big and you're fast and you're strong and you're experienced, guess what? You can be good. Well, guess what? The levels I began to play at, I wasn't nearly as big as those guys. I wasn't nearly as fast as those guys. I wasn't nearly as strong as those guys. So you know what? If you do the math, I didn't add up. I'm thinking, no, there's no way I could beat them. There's no way I can win here. But guess what? I'm more than a conqueror. I know I'm going to win going into it. So what comes into play? Passion comes into play. Intensity comes into play. Drive comes into play. Man, I realized early on that this game was running and tackling. And if you have the ball, you get tackled. And I'm thinking, okay, if I don't miss a tackle, and to me, all the tackling required was commitment. Yeah, you know what? I may hit you and I may wrap you up and you may drag me for 10 yards. But at some point, let me tell you something. I'm rangy enough that we're both going down. Whether I've got to wrap my legs around you or I've got to do whatever, man, pulling hair and gouging eyes, whatever, I'm not going to miss a tackle. But listen, so I figured this out. I thought, I'm looking at this guy that's bigger, faster, and stronger than me, and I'm thinking, okay, if I don't miss a tackle, all he's got to do is miss one tackle and I'm going to win. See, and that's how this is. So who had control now? I was able to take control of my life. But what did that require? A winning expectation. Man, it's about that commitment that you make to winning, a commitment that you make to the direction of your life. You know, it's interesting because I saw a football coach who got fired last year. And he was in the preseason, and he brought this player into his office. And they were at training camp at this college dorm. And he said, you know, the rules are you're not allowed to have any guests because some of these guys have got 3 and 4 year old kids and we don't need 3 and 4 year old kids in our preseason camp. So we just have a blanket policy. There's no guests in the dorm. And that's our standard. Do you understand that? And he said, yes, sir. He said, well, I heard you had a guest. And he said, yeah, but it wasn't a big deal. She was just dropping some things off. Man, she wasn't going to stay. It really wasn't that big a deal. He said, yeah, but our standard, and we were clear about it. We told you multiple times, no guests. He said, yeah, but it's no thing. It's no big deal. She just came by to visit. She just came by to drop something off. And the coach, my heart's pouring out for this guy because he's in a pickle. He's in a tough spot. And you know what the coach said? Coach said, I'm releasing you. I'm cutting you, and I'm going to wish you luck. And he stood up, and he held his hand out. And the player stood up, and he shook his hand and walked out of that office. And then it went to a team meeting, and the coach said, you know, we've got two wide receivers that had cramps today and had to be pulled. We got a third wide receiver that pulled a hamstring, and we got a fourth wide receiver that we had to cut today. He said, you know why I cut him? Because last year we were 7-9. And him making a decision not to live up to the standards that we have set for this preseason camp is a 7-9 decision. He said, 7 wins aren't enough. 8 wins aren't enough. 9 wins aren't enough. He said, this is the NFL. 10 wins aren't enough. We've got to make 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 win decisions. And I'm telling you, I heard that and I thought, oh my goodness, that's how we have to communicate this. How many of your decisions are 7-9 decisions? How many of your decisions are 8-8 decisions? Man, we've got to have a winning direction and winning expectations. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, Paul wrote, and whatever you do, do it heartily or with your whole heart as of unto the Lord and not to men. Man, we work as of unto the Lord. Everything we do. Everything I do as a husband, everything I do as a father, everything I do as a friend, I do it heartily as of unto the Lord. Yeah, I love Sandy with all my heart. Sandy's the most important person on the planet to me. But let me tell you, that's still not good enough. I've got to do it heartily as of unto Jesus, as of unto the Lord. That's what makes it good enough. Then she gets out of this relationship and this covenant what she deserves. See, remember, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus. I didn't just give aspects of things I needed help with. See, that's who we have to be. Knowing that from the Lord, you're going to receive a reward. And it's an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And see, that's what we have to understand here. Man, your job, the people that work for you. Man, when you put together the standards of your life, what are the standards of God's word? What are the standards of Christ? Because they're the only ones that are working our life now. God's heart is to be included in everything in our lives. Everything. I think a lot of times we'll give our lives to God, but not the hard parts. Man, we've got to give our thought life to God. We've got to give our emotions to God. We've got to give our sex life to God. We have to give our work. We got to give our work ethic to God. Man, we've got to be so careful that we don't fall prey to the deceptions of the enemy and the cunning craftiness of men. Man, people are living so long now. And I'm thankful for that. But there's multiple generations on the earth. So now it's just not a generation gap. It's multiple generations. Well, you know what you hear? All these millennials were so concerned. What's going to happen? They have no work ethic. Well, let me help you. Our interns, most of them are millennials, and they're working their tails off. Yes. So I beg to differ. There was a young man that was like a college-age guy that was at the Chipotle last night. Chano and I stopped and got a bowl of healthy Mexican food. And Chano tried to express to me that that's an oxymoron, healthy Mexican food, okay? So he said, these aren't the Trevino beans here. So anyway, we're eating beans. I don't know what Trevino beans are now that I think about it. But evidently, they're not very healthy. But we're eating this bowl. Well, there's a guy there that was a college-age guy who in his early 20s that was in JV years ago when Chano was the JV director. And Chano goes, oh, that's that guy, he'd bring friends. It's the only kids that could beat us at soccer. Chano's got some weird competitive things, okay? But that's what he remembers about this guy. He said, but he's such a good boy. He played soccer at Union. He played soccer at East Central. And man, he's a great guy. He'd bring all his friends to church. And so I go up there and he said, what would you like? And I said, well, I need 2 bowls. I was getting one for Sandy. And I said, yeah, that rice, that these beans, that meat. And he's doing it. And I'm telling you, I'm watching this guy's service, and I'm thinking, this is why Chipotle had the media issues that it had. But listen, it's still the restaurant's still full of people. Because you see these guys that are just serving, just working. And you know what? This guy honestly represented heartily as of unto the Lord in how he served Chano and me. And in looking at this, I looked at it, I thought, man, I want to hire this kid. I want this kid on our bus. I want him on our team. And here he is, a millennial with his work ethic up here. So don't buy into that stuff. Let me tell you, you know what's interesting? A couple of months ago, I decided after all of the campaign, after the election, after all of the fallout or whatever, the separation, all the division that we have in our government, I decided I'm not going to watch the news anymore for a while. I just cut it off. Just this last week, I did watch the news. You know what's amazing? They're still talking about President Trump and Russia and collusion. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. They're talking about the same things they were talking about 2 months ago when I stopped watching the news. I haven't missed a thing. I really haven't. And then I started thinking, and then there's this shocking thing. Are you guys ready? I'm going to go political for just a second, okay? So hold your breath. There's this shocking thing that there's collusion in our politics. Are you kidding me? Do you think someone created and invented that in 2017? I think our founding fathers were in collusion with whomever they could to craft our Constitution. See, it's how it works. It's how the world works. See, but we're in the kingdom. We're in this world. We're not of it. But let me tell you, if you're ingesting all of that stuff all day, all you're going to see is separation and all you're going to see is division. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. So stop. Let's do the math. Let's bring unity. Let's the church, the local church, let's bring unity. The local church, let's eliminate the division. And you know what? Let's be accepting. Let's know no man by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And you'll say, well, I can't do that. Bull. Let me tell you about God's word. God's word is all about changed lives. It's changed life that produces changed lives. You know what I am? I'm the preacher that for 25 years has pastored a church in Tulsa that's a pretty churched community when you think about it. T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, that's the Mount Rushmore of that generation of ministry. That all were right here in Tulsa. And then we come in, we realize there's 50% of the population that doesn't like church. Well, let's make church for them. People that love church, let's let them scratch their head. Let's let them talk about us. Back then, there wasn't an internet. They had to actually sit down and write a letter. Okay? So we could fade that kind of heat. But see, in looking at this, we have to understand always that the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Life in abundance, listen, for you to enjoy. See, so we look at it now, why don't we create an atmosphere and an experience where people can come as they are with whatever baggage they have? See, that's what this is about. It's really, truly, it's life on purpose. It's not life by accident. It's life. It's purpose-filled life. It's to live by purpose. You know, when we know things are going to come into our life. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's going to be depressing things that are coming in your life. It's your decision whether you accept depression. And I'm not talking about being in denial. I'm talking about living your life. I'm talking about building your life on purpose. Listen to how Jesus put it in Matthew, the 7th chapter. It's real easy. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, not just hear them. We can't just be hearers. We got to be doers. Hears them and does them, okay? I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. He built his life on the word, all right? And the rain descended. And the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house. Man, that house took a beating. How many guys in here feel like you're taking a beating in life? Well, that's everybody. I saw one hand go up. Everybody's taking a beating. But your life is determined by what you build your life upon. not what hits your life. See, what happens to you isn't what defines you. What you do with what happens to you does. In this world, you'll have tribulation, no matter what your name is, no matter what side of the tracks you were born on. He said it, and the rains had set, and the floods came and blew. But that house was founded upon the rock, or founded upon the word. But you know what? He said, everyone who hears these things and does them, he said, but if you don't do them, he said, I'll liken you as a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the wind came, and the rain, and the storm hit it, and it beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And you know what's interesting? It didn't say that house was great. It said the fall was great because the potential is so great. I'm telling you, what's in front of you, I do not espouse to the attitude that you raise up your kids saying, hey, you could be anything you want to be. Because some of your kids may end up being, I remember little Kennedy was running track, and she was in the 7th or 8th grade, and she qualified for higher levels of competition in the regionals and to go to the state. And so we go to the regionals, she's there, and I'm looking, and she's like this tall, and all those little girls are like this tall, and their legs are like as long as she is tall. And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, she's competing against Jackie Joyner-Kersee here. And it's the long jump. And I'm watching her so my expectation, I'm not saying, hey, you could be an Olympian if you want to. Well, I don't know. So you're 5'4". Unless you're going to be like that little Biles gymnast girl. That she's like this, but she's like a bobblehead gymnast. But the point is, you raise your kid and say, man, you could be the president. No, you know what? God's got a purpose for their lives. They're going to experience. We raise our kids to realize, know, and then experience God's purpose in their life. See, what Jesus said is, we've got to hear this and live it. Hear it and do it. Hear it and live it. Remember, by design, the word is simple. Man, my ambition here is not to sweep you off your feet as a wordsmith or a storyteller. I'm telling you, my total focus is to make this simple enough for everyone to get it. Why? Because the enemy is working overtime to deceive you into thinking you can't get it. You can't figure it out. Life in the Word is simple. It really is. Let me put it this way. God sent his word and healed us and delivered us of our destructions. Jesus was the word made flesh. He went about doing good and healing all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's all really simple. See, so is God here right now? Will God ever leave you or forsake you? No. Is he here right now? Healing is not, health is not what God does. Health is who God is. Do you hear me? So if health is here, I say you receive it. See, that's how simple this is. Instead of, well, here's what I see, or here's how I feel, how about, what does the word say? Help me with what the word says. What does the word say about my marriage? What does the word say about my academics? What does the word say about my livelihood? What does the word say about my finances? See, Lamentations 3 says the recall of God's promise brings hope. Man, God's promise brings hope. And guess what? It's a hope that will never disappoint. See, all this is, let me just tell you, that suppression that's been in your life that makes it feel like you're in depression, this is just helping you just climb out, just walk right out of that. Knowing and trusting God's promise gives the evidence of the things we hope for. See, we've got to know his word. We've got to trust his word. We've got to live his word. And it's that simple. It really is. The Bible says it's simple enough for the smallest child to understand. You'll say, yeah, but it's hard, and life is hard, life's heavy. Really? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. Man, how many of you guys in here, and this isn't some magic theorem. I'm not going to call you up and slap you on the head and say blessed, okay? That's not going to happen. But how many of you guys in here, don't raise your hands or anything, but you truly have a heaviness in an aspect or a part of your life? You've got an issue in your life. You've got a depression in your life. You've got something in your life that it's like, you know what? Sometimes it's not even worth it. Sometimes it's not even worth being married. Sometimes it's not even worth going to church. Sometimes it's not even worth having these kids. Sometimes it's not even worth going to work. Man, I don't even know if it's worth even breathing anymore. See, that's the deception. The enemy wants to lead you down that path. Understand, God is never going to bring up your past, ever. So if your past comes up, it's never God. How you got through something before is not how you have to get through something now. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, all that is a care. See, the world raises us and builds us and trains us to carry care. The kingdom creates us and builds us and raises us up and trains us to cast our care. We're not built to carry care. Those are the things you can't fix. You know, you might be here today and you might have a diagnosis of something that you can't fix it on your own. Well, you know what? That becomes a care. That becomes something heavy in your life. You've got to cast that care. Listen, if it's not light, if it's not easy, if it's not simple, it's not God. But you know what? It is a sacrifice. We are living sacrifices. Our life, every day we're required to sacrifice. We don't get to live like the world lives anymore. There's a different direction and a different expectation on our life now. That's why we win. That's why we win every day. That's why we'll never quit. Man, I'm looking at so many people in here. Man, you had every right in the world to quit, but you didn't. And I believe you won't. But you have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to take on a new attitude. A different attitude. The world may even say it's weird. The world will say it's weird that you tithe. It's not weird, it's just different. And why do we want to be different? Because we want to make a difference. We can't make a difference if we're not different. Why do we believe that we lay hands on the sick and they recover? That's weird. It's not weird, it's just different. We don't have to run from being different. I want to be different. I thrive at being different. I really do. Man, there's religious people that'll say that's rebellion. No, it's not. It's just different to make a difference. Can you cast your care upon the Lord today? Because it's up to you. You could leave here with just the memory of depression. You could break the back of that depression today simply by casting your care upon the Lord. For he cares for you. He's able to carry that for you. It's interesting that the root word of carry is care. We're not built to carry it. Your dad let you down. Your husband wasn't faithful. And you can't do anything about that now. But you don't have to carry it. And if you don't carry it, there's no strings attached to it in your life. For some of you guys, there's a root of bitterness that's happened in your heart, and it stopped you vocationally, it stopped you relationally, and it stops you spiritually. But you know what we can do? We could put an axe to that root of bitterness today. You could take that bitterness, you can cast it upon the Lord, and guess what happens? Things begin to line up spiritually in your life, so everything else is taken care of. There's such a sweet spirit of God in here right now. And I believe it's God just saying, look, come on, get it to me. Come on, cast your care upon me. You've tried to fix it long enough. Let me take care of it. Loneliness in your life? God's saying, let me take it. Let me take that loneliness. man, I'm going to fulfill you. I'm going to give you more friends. I'm going to give you more relationships than you ever thought you were going to have. And they're all going to be solid gold because they come from me. Remember this? Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about, casting care upon him. That's the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything in my life that I value has come to me. Every single thing. Everything else just gathering dust and rusting. God, I just thank you now for every person in this place, in Skytook and Sepulpa, and watching online. God, I thank you that your hand's on every life in this room. God, I pray a move of your spirit in this place today. And God, as we prepare our hearts to cast our care upon you, God, I thank you that you spiritually back our play today. And God, I proclaim in this place, as the authority, as the man of God in this house, that depression is broken off of every life in this room because we take control and we cast our care upon you, God. Now just do it now. Cast your care upon him, the care of your debt, the care of your loneliness, the care of your divorce. Just cast that care upon him. Strife is leaving your home right now in the name of Jesus. Just breathe health into your body. Let God be the healer of your soul, the healer of your body.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.